calendar. Last week, I mentioned briefly and kind of introduced the what I call the both philosophy. I want to talk a little bit about that and explain that a little bit better in detail. And then I want to spend some time talking about each of these areas and what the devil does to try to defeat worldwide missions. And the devil's been at it a long time, folks, okay? And he's very good at what he does. And so we're going to kind of shine the spotlight on some things and say and let us be aware. I mean, we should not, the Bible says, we should not be ignorant of his devices. And so you can learn the patterns. You can learn what he does. You can understand that when certain things happen, you can figure out who's behind them. And so we need to be wise in that area. In Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, if you'll take a look at that, this is where what your pastors has called, and what I call the both philosophy, and Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. There it is, both in Jerusalem, and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Well, that both gives us the idea that we're supposed to simultaneously be impacting all four of these areas. And so let's pray, and then we'll give you hopefully a good explanation of this and ask the Lord to give us a worldwide vision at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. We wouldn't have a story to tell. There'd be no need to gather, to assemble. There'd be no need to send out missionaries. What would they tell if Jesus hadn't come? And so, Jesus, thank you for coming, dying on a cross for our sins. Thank you that death could not hold you. Thank you that you rose again the third day and that you're now seated up in heaven. Thank you that, Lord, you've given us a great commission and a great responsibility. Lord, we talked about last week the missions mandate. And so, Lord, help us to fulfill it. Help us to understand how we can fulfill it in all four of these areas. Lord, we pray that you'd help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there it is. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Well, he's explaining it from their vantage point, from where they are. Jerusalem working outward from there. We can take that same formula and bring it right to Blessed Oak Baptist Church and say, you know what, we also have a Jerusalem, and we have a Judea that we can impact. We have a Samaria we can impact, and then a responsibility to impact the uttermost parts of the earth. And as a pastor, you know what? If we're supposed to be doing all of these things, it'd be good to write down each area and then take a look at it and say, how in the world can we better impact our Jerusalem? How can we better impact our Judea, our Samaria, and the uttermost? Well, first of all, we've got to define them. I say this to pastors often. I think every single pastor needs to clearly identify to your people what your Jerusalem is. I think everyone, listen, I like maps. I like maps. I think, you know what, somebody with a map and a Bible and a prayer life can impact the world. And so one of the first things we did was we had some maps made. And if you can't see them from here, but if you go into this little open area behind the pews later on, by the way, we changed out the pictures. We've got pictures of a lot of our missionaries and some of our missions trips that we've taken over the years. Go back, and we've added some more even from last Sunday. Go back there and take a look at all of that. But on this wall that you can't see around the corner, there's a map of our Jerusalem. And I clearly drew a line. 18 miles. I looked down. I always say somewhere between 18 and 20 miles. Well, I look down, and it's right there on the map. 18-mile circle is where the red circle is. From where Jasonville is to the red circle that you'll see is an 18-mile radius in all directions. And that's what I have said to our church. That's going to be our Jerusalem. Let's see if we can saturate our Jerusalem with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over the years, not just my dad when he started, but other pastors, I mean, there's been so many different types of soul winning programs started, and sometimes you want to reshuffle the deck and you want to re-energize it. You want to try it a new way in a different way. We've done Tuesday morning visitation, Thursday night visitation, Saturday visitation. I guess we've tried just about anything and everything. Ladies visitation, men's visitation, teen visitation. I think that our Judea project back there and our Operation Occupation, I'm sorry, not our Judea project, but Operation Occupation that's designed to reach our Jerusalem has been the most effective, and I can say this, I think, in the history of our church. I think it's energized more people every single week of their lives to be involved in some type of door-to-door soul winning. And I love it. I love it for a lot of reasons. The first map that we had created back there was a map of our bus routes. And there's something about looking at that bus route. I remember when I was a bus captain, the whole idea that my pastor had entrusted me with a certain part of Chicago and given me ownership of it. There was a loyalty built in from bus workers concerning their bus route, praying for their bus route, you know, working in their bus route, desiring to reach their bus route for the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember looking at that one day and seeing that map and thinking, how do you create that same ownership and that same loyalty and that same desire to impact an area? How do you transfer what we see in the bus ministry into door-to-door soul winning? And I literally am in my office looking at that bus map, and the Lord began to speak to my heart about, well, why can't we talk about a mission field? We talk about everybody's supposed to be a missionary. Why couldn't we create 20 mission fields in our Jerusalem and just allow people, if they would like to say, for the next 12 months, I want to take ownership of one of these. I want to pray over it. I want to visit. I want to seek to take the gospel to every door. I'll be responsible for it. And so anyway, from that came Operation Occupation. I can still remember in there with dry eraser markers and a rag and some of that stuff you spray on. I mean, I'd draw it out and they'd know that's not right. I mean, you know, until I got it figured out where we could do it. You know, our area, you go back there and there's some of the areas, some of the mission fields seem really large. Some of them seem pretty small. Well, you know, I've been in this area knocking on doors for a lot of years, and I could pretty much tell you where there's a density of houses and where there's, you get out sometimes in some of these places where there's a large area, and you may go two or three country blocks and not even find a house. And so, you know, did the best we could to try to even all of that out. But I just love it. I love Operation Occupation. I love what it's done to re-energize me. I've said this, I don't know if it's helped anybody else, but it's helped Pastor Jerry Ross. And I love the accountability that's built in. I love coming in here and being able to mark off my section and seeing desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. And you know what? If you don't aim for anything, that's what you'll hit, nothing. You know, if you aim for something, you've got a goal, something that drives you, something that keeps you out there, something that keeps you motivated. I just love the entire program. The both philosophy, we're talking about what Jerusalem, first of all. Jerusalem's listed first. I think it's listed first because it should be our primary burden, our primary goal. This is the home church. This is the home area. I mean, let's reach our Jerusalem for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's other good churches here, and they have soul winning programs too. Great, good, wonderful. You know, I love finding their tracks on the door so I can take them off and put our track there instead. No, I mean that. I do mean that. No, I like that. I like that. We're not the only ones. But you know what? I've always approached it like this. I'm going to act like we're the only ones. Whatever other help we get, we get. But I'm not going to assume somebody else is doing something else. Let's just treat it like it's our responsibility and try to do the best we can to get the gospel to every door. And so you have that opportunity at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to be involved in that. Or, you know, one of the things I say to our bus workers is, you know, I'm not going to tell you no if God says yes, but I'm not pressured to put no pressure on our bus workers to be involved in Operation Occupation. They're already out there for a number of hours every single weekend working in their bus ministry. And I love that these two ministries, let me remind Operation Occupation on the leaders on this, these two ministries can work hand in hand. You know, you ought to, as you're doing your Operation Occupation mission field, keep in mind that there's a bus route in that same area. You can go back and compare the maps and know which bus route you're visiting on. Be looking for bus workers. If you see a meet a family that has kids and they show some interest, you know, get that information written down. Take it over to a bus captain and say, I met somebody while I was out visiting and they mentioned that the kids might be able to ride the bus. And here, bus captains need help, you know, and you're out there anyway. So let's be alert and let's work together. We can saturate our city with the gospel and our community, our Jerusalem, with the gospel. The size of circle we're able to draw would not be the same if we were in a, in a city or in a large community or somewhere where there was a more of a density of population, you know, and some of the folks that have come. Matter of fact, Brother Nichols, when he was here, and Stephen Becker called me and said, Brother Nichols is telling me about this Operation Occupation and out in Sacramento, California. And they've basically done the exact same thing in Sacramento, California, well, actually in a suburb of it called Loomis. But obviously their circles smaller. Inside that circle, there's probably somewhere close to 33,000 people in that circle right there. Well, they could draw a pretty small circle and have the same amount of people. But they're doing the exact same thing. They're taking responsibility for something. And so how do we reach our Jerusalem? Door-to-door soul winning. Listen, I don't know of any other way to saturate your Jerusalem with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we'll do other things. And we'll talk about doing other things. But how in the world can we fulfill the Great Commission to take the gospel to every creature? I understand I can't barge into every house without permission and corner every individual, but I can at least leave the gospel or present the gospel to every home. And there's no other way to do it. Guys that have tried to figure out, you know, ways to do it without soul winning, ways to do it without a visitation, door-to-door visitation program. First of all, door-to-door visitation is a biblical method. Okay, in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And so it's a biblical method to get the gospel. There's no other way to saturate your Jerusalem with the gospel of Jesus Christ without, you know what, callous knuckles. Come on, wear out the shoe leather, put the time in, and just go and grind it out. And, preacher, that's not my thing. Well, you know what, it's nobody's thing when they first start. Wasn't my thing when I first started. But you know what, once you get out there and I think we got to ask God to give us a heart for it. To give us a heart for it. I love going door to door. I love talking to people. I love meeting new people. I even enjoy all the various reactions. And trust me, I get all kinds of reactions. You know, you got to have thick skin a little bit. Because from time to time, somebody's going to growl at you, you know, or be unkind. But you know what? I want to say this. That does not happen very often in rural America. It really doesn't. Even people that you can tell aren't real thrilled that you're there are usually at least decently kind. And you know, I've had people refuse the material. And hey, I'm a guest on their property, you know. And so if I sense they don't want me there and they don't want the material, I'll thank them for taking a few minutes. I move on down the road, try to leave a good testimony, a good taste in their mouth. You never know. The next time we go by, their life circumstance might be totally different. And you know, God may have done something in their hearts that's tenderized their heart. You know, I talk about the Philippian jailer, and you know what got him to the point where he was willing to ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Well, God sent an earthquake. And you know, God can send an earthquake in people's lives, and all of a sudden that old, hard, bitter sinner that didn't want anything to do with church and God, next thing you knock on the door and all of a sudden their whole circumstance of life has changed and they're willing to hear for the first time. That's why we got to go back. I had a funny visit the other day, just last week. I didn't even knock on the door. I got out and there was two couples that were back by the barn. So I just drove back towards the barn, got out. And I said, run for your lives. The Baptist preacher showed up. And they started laughing. And I walked over and said, who actually lives here? And I handed the packet. And the guy looks at our packet and laughs. And he said, you guys have come by here I don't know how many times. Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And the other guy, you know, looks at him and said, you know, I forget what he called him, Bill or whatever his name was, and said, well, Bill, maybe God's trying to tell you something, you know. And I said, thank you for saying that, so I didn't have to say that to him, you know. And I had a good visit with him, you know, invited him to church, and they don't go anywhere. But hey, you know what I told him? I said, well, we may come by more than we ought to. But I said, you know, the one thing I don't have to worry about, standing before God as a preacher and having to answer for never getting the gospel to this home. And what could they say to that? He said, well, you're definitely doing that. So that's okay. That's all right. Man, that's exciting, isn't it? That's exciting. It wasn't me last year that went by. It was somebody else that had that section last year. Probably won't be me next year. And I told him, I said, well, I'll just kind of prepare you for this. About once a year, somebody from Blessed Hope Baptist Church is going to come by. I said, but he said, oh, that's good. That's good. Well, we got to do it. We got to do it, folks. Okay. Operation Occupation has, I tell our men, you got five fingers, five things to pray about, five goals. When you take an area, you know what? Pray that the Lord will allow you to get the gospel to every single door. And then pray that God gives you one person saved and baptized from your section every year. That may not seem like a big giant goal, but if all 20 of us got that prayer answered, that'd be 20 people saved and baptized. I pray that God gives us a family out of your section during the year that you have it. I like this prayer. I said, Lord, if I can't reach a whole family, can I get a teenager? Help me to find one teenager or one new bus family, you know, that would start riding the bus. And then while I'm in my group area, I always look for what I call people groups. And so inside your area, you know, what is there? Is there a police station there? Well, what would hurt to go by there and, you know, have the wife bake a plate full of cookies and lay some gospel tracts in amongst them and swing by and say, hey, from Blessed Hope Baptist Church, really appreciate what you guys do and just want to drop off something you can put in the break room and an invite to our church. And by the way, know that we pray for you. You know, folks, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to think, to be innovative, to think outside the box. One of the things as I was going through, we probably ought to do this again sometime, but one of the things that came across when I was doing our history and trying to put everything together, one year we had our Shine As Lights theme and Shine As Lights campaign, and we decided that we were going to put together gift baskets for every business inside of our Jerusalem. And folks, that's quite an undertaking when you decide you're going to do that. And so we broke it down where every single month we targeted some of the parts of our communities. You know, one month we do maybe Duggar and Pleasantville, that area. And every business, one of the couples of our church would swing by during business hours and bring them just a basket full of treats and goodies and some John and Romans in there and some gospel tracts and say, hey, you know what? This month we are putting out for our people a list of the businesses that we're bringing these to, and for the entire month, for the next 30 days, our church is going to pray for your business and thank you for what you contribute to our community and all of that. Now, we didn't take them by the liquor stores. I'm not going to tell them thank you for what they contribute to our community. I'm not going to take it by the bars, but I'm talking, and you know what? We sit there and talk to them and say, hey, by the way, can we carry back any prayer requests? I was in Sandburg and stopped in the little small bank there in Sandburg and walked over to the bank manager that was sitting at the desk. There were people in line waiting for the two tellers that were in there. And I still love small town. I hated that they shut down the branch that I used in Hymera. Still upset about that. I go over there and pick it, but there's no one to see me. And so, you know, but I love that. And I went over and talked to her real quick and said, hey, let me drop this off. You got a break room? Or appreciate you, y'all. And let me tell you what we're doing. We're praying for y'all this week. And that lady said, now, who are you again? And I said, is there anything we can pray with you about? She began to cry and said, my mother's fighting cancer right now. And she said, I know both of the bank tellers have heartaches too. And she said to the customers waiting in Sandburg on a Saturday morning, waiting in line, could we borrow the tellers for just a minute? And they came over and I got to learn their names and wrote down their prayer request. And I said, let's pray. And a couple of the customers came over and said, can we pray with you? And next thing you know, I'm standing in the lobby of Sandburg Bank holding hands with two women I'm not married to. Amen. feeling very ecumenical as I'm having a little prayer circle with these people. And I mean, not a dry eye when we got done, you know. And folks, listen, you know, what I'm saying is this. You know, if you are an operation occupation leader, I'd love for you to really take, not just mad dash, how can I get every door so I can say I'm done, but how can we hit every door? How can we take notes? How can we go back? You're going back to the same area every single week. Sounds like you're trying to sell this. Well, it is lunch night next week, all right? So how can I go back to the same area where I'm not going all over our Jerusalem, but I go back to the same area? I can follow up on good contacts, make that extra visit or two to try to get them to come. You know, if we do it right, I was real tempted to take three sections this year because, you know, we're not having the amount of participation I'd hope. But I thought, if I start taking too much, I won't do it right. I really think we need to stick with the program, you know, and do it right. Take our time. Take time with people. It's not a mad dash, okay? Stay in there and get to know them. Don't get in the habit of just, first of all, don't hang things on mailboxes. You're not the one that gets to have, that has to call back the, you know, postmaster at these small post offices and get chewed out because we're late. Don't leave them on the mailboxes. Stop looking for shortcuts. This is not designed to just do drive-by. This is designed to pull into every driveway and walk up to every door. I understand sometimes we have, you know, private drive, no trespassing. I think we've done good training as far as how to handle that. Sometimes you may have to hang a packet on a gate or on a something. I get it. But as a general rule, we want to talk to people. And so I'm talking about saturating our Jerusalem. And I think that the bus ministry is certainly part of that. We partner with the bus ministry in this. Bus ministry partners with us. And for now 50 years, I mean, out there, if you go into the hallway through those double doors and you look up at this wall, you'll see a picture of the very first bus that Blessed Hope Baptist Church ever purchased. And you'll see two smaller pictures underneath it. Don Mowry's on one side of the front of it, and Charles English is on the other side, and they're both trying to work on brakes or do something. Somebody snapped a couple pictures of them, and I'm just like, yep, that's the buses we bought. Amen. I guarantee you it needed work when we got it, and it needed work to keep it going. But you know what? We had men that were willing, still do have men, that all these years have been willing to roll up their sleeves. And Brother Jack Gordon's been a huge part of that. Brother Chad's a huge part of that. And other men in our church throughout the history of our church have been a huge part of that. Just keep these buses rolling. Just keep them rolling. And but, you know, we again, within our Jerusalem, what about unreached people groups, jails and nursing homes and children? Is there children's homes? Is there orphanages? Is there public schools, businesses? I just like everybody to drive your mission field with fresh eyes and just have the Lord show you. Preacher, how in the world do you come up with an idea of putting together a basket and take it to every business, driving, praying, driving through these small communities saying, Lord, what am I missing? What haven't we done that we could do? You know, I think if you're praying and asking God to give you a vision and give you some ideas, you know what, the Lord will give them to you. But we've got to get a burden for it. We've got to get a burden for it. So we're talking about our Jerusalem. What about our Judea? Well, I've kind of identified for our church, our Judea, as southern Indiana. And how can we impact outside of our Jerusalem? Folks, every church is only going to be able to reach out so far and effectively minister. We're only going to be able to run buses so far. So when we reach the outer edge of our circle, what about everything outside of that? Well, that's somebody else's problem. Not if you believe the boat philosophy. That's somebody else's job. Well, I understand we may not be the primary, but there's something we can do. And where does church planting come in? It comes in when you begin to pray over your Judea, southern Indiana, and begin to say, how can we get the gospel to parts of southern Indiana that doesn't have the gospel? I believe God works through the local New Testament church. And I think we need to plant churches if we're going to reach unreached areas for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just planting churches. Before we ever started planting churches, before we ever planted the first church, I got a burden for southern Indiana And first thing I did was just try to find out where there are churches in southern Indiana. I mean, there's no use starting a church on top of somebody else's church. And where are there struggling churches in southern Indiana? What about these bivocational pastors that have gone out and either started a church or taken a small church, and they got to work a full-time job, and they're trying to also reach their community? And here's a church like ours, and we start doing Judea projects. And what did we do? What'd you do, preacher? I'd find out where these struggling churches, these bivocational guys are. And I'd meet them through pastor fellowships, or I'd hear about them from word of mouth, and I'd get on the phone till I could track down a good phone number for them. And I'd call them up, and I'd say, I'm Pastor Jerry Ross, pastor church over in Jasonville. And hey, I hear that you're down there. I hear that God's brought you to that community. I'd like to meet you. Let me just come down and take you to lunch. And I'd take part of a day and drive, you know, an hour, hour and a half, wherever they're at. Southern Indiana, you don't have to go too far, a couple hours maybe, and meet with them for lunch. Say, tell me when you got here. And so how many are you running? Okay, great. And how many children you and your wife have? And okay. And so how are you managing this, working a full-time job trying to do this? And just, oh, you know. I said, by the way, I worked a full-time job and planted a church. So, you know, it's great when you, listen, I don't have to wonder what that guy and his wife's going through. I know what that guy and his wife's going through. A lot of times I question years afterwards, what was that whole thing about Central Baptist Church and Brazil and us spending 7 years over there beating our head against a brick wall? And, you know, I will tell you that there's perfect clarity about those years now. Because I can sit down with one of these young, struggling couples. I know exactly what they're going through and where they're at. And then I'd say, okay, I want to throw an idea at you. And a no's as good as a yes. It's your church, your burden. But why don't you, would you be open to the idea of me coming down here on a Saturday and bringing a busload of soul winners and just helping you knock doors? I mean, I think I can bring, you know, 25, 30, maybe a little more than that. And we could come down here and we could spend three or four hours knocking doors. And in 3 or 4 hours on a Saturday, 40 soul winners from Blessed Hope Baptist Church will knock more doors than that guy probably can in 6 months because he's just so limited in his time. And I said, we will buy the tracks. You tell me what track you want. You tell me what you want on the track. We'll pay for all of that. If you have a big day or a special day or revival and you want us to distribute flyers with it, let's time it out for that, and we'll pay for the flyers. And you know, it's so funny watching these preachers because they're listening to you. And sad, this kind of sad, but you can see that they're okay. They're like, where's the hook? Where's the catch? The other shoe's about to drop. He wants me to join something, donate to something. And finally, when they figure out that there is, and I sometimes I have to say, listen, there is no ulterior motive here. The only motive that we have is to try to be a blessing and encouragement to you and your wife. And we want to see this church go. We want to see you get over the hump. We'd love to see you at some point be full time. And if we could come, just help a little bit. And then when he realizes it, that there's no hook, then to see the tears. You know, folks, listen, you don't know if you've never done it how alone you feel. Amen. And everybody from time to time is telling you, hey, we're praying for you. That's great. Appreciate prayers. These guys need more than prayers. Right. And, you know, many of you have gone on these Judea projects with us. And, you know, we'd show up down there. And we'd bring, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 weeks worth of groceries. And we'd unload it right into their vehicle. And then we'd take our soul winners out. A lot of times I wouldn't want the pastor's wife to go unless she just insisted on it. I'd have my wife or one of the ladies take her out to eat somewhere and just encourage her and talk to her and bring some toys for the kids, find out the age. Say, preacher, what's this all about? Being a blessing, being an encouragement. You know, our men, ladies out there, teenagers knocking on doors, you know, bringing him good leads. People that are just moving the community, or people that are looking for a church, or people that, you know, look like it could be a pretty good lead, and bring back, you know, maybe 25, 30 good leads. You know how long it would have taken him to dig out those 25, 30 leads? Now, next couple of weeks, he He doesn't have to just wander around door to door. He can go to people that's already, you know, expressed some interest in the church. We've done several of those. Matter of fact, when I was going back through the history, there was many years that we did one of them or two of them. Sometimes, I think one year we did four of them. And just looking for churches out there that are that need a... Say, preacher, what are we doing? Listen, if we... Most preachers and most people are never going to say this out loud. They wouldn't say it out loud. But you'd be shocked how many preachers and how many churches have the attitude, if it doesn't put a person in my pew or a dollar in my plate, I'm not interested in it. They won't say it out loud. But they have no vision for a Judea. Most churches, Jerusalem, uttermost parts, we're about reaching our Jerusalem. Hey, good, we're supposed to. Uttermost parts, we've got our handful of missionaries on the board back there, and so we impact the world. Well, what about your state? What about America, your country? Come on, we're getting into this. Come on, Jerusalem, Jacksonville, Judea, southern Indiana, Samaria. We ought to have a burden for our country. Our country's in trouble. Our country's in trouble, folks. And, you know, we need churches planted in America. We're going to talk about worldwide missions. We've already talked about worldwide missions, the importance of impacting the world. Sometimes we're looking past the United States into the world, and we're losing the mothership here. It's sinking. And if America goes down, who's sending missionaries to the world? And so we really have to start looking very specifically at areas of the United States of America that's genuinely become a mission field. And we've talked about that, I think, one Sunday night, a couple times, maybe I've done this, just talked about mission fields within the boundaries of the United States of America. You say, preacher, why are you kind of energized? Why are you talking about let's throw some money to the Navajo Indian Reservation? You have to be aware that there are certain places where all of a sudden the groundwork has been laid. Did you get that with Brother Joel? And I'm so appreciative of the fact that he has an appreciation for the people that came before him, and that he understands that a lot of what's starting to happen now wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for the last 60 years of men that have shown up out there. And a lot of times just, you know, come on, I talked about beating your head against a wall and just trying to figure it out and scratching it out and taking forever to get that first family. And now his generation is reaping the benefits of some of that. But when you have a mission field that gets to the point where, you know what, all of a sudden the harvest is starting to turn white and the labors are few, man, that's where we need to throw money, and that's where we need to throw manpower, because it's on the brink of something exciting happening there. Mexico was like that for a lot of years. 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, I think less so today than it used to be. But, you know, there was that window of time where it was like just wide open, and everybody's saying, well, we're putting too much money into one country. Not if that's where it's happening. You know, the Philippines are in the middle of that right now. Right now, some of the most remarkable things that are happening in the world has happened in the Philippines. And just, you know, hey, let's shoot them. Let's send them. Matter of fact, they're getting to the point now where the Filipino churches are doing such a good job that they really don't need American missionaries. And I'm going to have somebody, you know, this month sneak in the back door and say, I'm a missionary to the Philippines. And if God told you to go there, you know. I'm not saying there aren't parts that need it, but they are producing their own product to reach their own people. And they are sending missionaries from the Philippines to the United States of America to plant churches right now. Amen. America, for years, sent missionaries to the Philippines. Now the Philippines churches are sending missionaries to America. That should tell you how bad off we're getting. Okay, and so you got to watch these things and understand these things. And hey, if there's an opportunity and something's happening and God's beginning to move in an unusual way, man, let's throw some money, manpower at it. Let's throw gas on that fire. Let's ride that thing, you know. So we're talking about impacting our country. You know, if you think about it, man, I didn't take time to do this, but there's so many things like our radio. Let me just give you an example. Our radio station and our radio broadcast is one of those ministries that honestly impacts all four of these areas. because we literally are on our local radio station where you can turn on your radio and listen to a Christian radio station that has Blessed Hope Baptist broadcast on it, okay? But because of the fact that they're also on the World Wide Web, you know what? I can listen to WYTJ. I can listen to it, you know, once I leave the area. Come on, I can get my smartphone out and keep listening to this radio station. I can listen to Brother Russ's radio station down in Evansville, you know. And not only can you listen to it in southern Indiana, you can listen to it anywhere you're at in America. You can listen to it to the uttermost parts of the earth. Okay, so that's one of those really unique ministries. We're going, one of the goals this year that we're going to do as soon as I start doing regular broadcasts again, get back on there. We're kind of doing reruns for a while I'm catching my breath here a little bit. But when I get back on there, we actually have already set up a podcast for the Blessed Hope Baptist, Blessed Hope broadcast. And some of you are looking at me, what's a podcast? You know, I don't know. I really don't understand it myself, but yeah, I kind of do. Listen, the younger people want to listen to what they want to listen to. They don't want to have the radio on and hope to catch the Blessed Hope broadcast twice a day, you know, especially since one's at 4 o'clock in the morning, I think, or something like that. You know, they want to be able to go to a place where they can listen to that day's broadcast when they have time to listen to it. And by the way, have access to all of the broadcasts previous to that. If they haven't listened in a week, they can just sit there and catch up on it. And that is something that Brother Young's helping me at least set the basis up for. And then Brother Klein will have to figure out how to get all of those put on that also. And Brother Josh will help me on that. And what are you doing? We're just trying to find new ways to impact our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And I got to finish. I got 30 seconds here. But, you know, folks, this month is also about a worldwide vision. And, you know, I think when we get to heaven, of all the things that Blessed Hope Baptist Church has been able to be a part of, I think those missionaries, that not only the ones we're supporting now, but the ones that we've supported over the past 50 years, and everything, every soul that they were allowed to reach, we're going to get a chance to understand that and see that and meet those souls. And I think one of the greatest investments that anybody can make, no matter which church you are, is make a financial investment in worldwide missions. And so anyway, I've got to finish up here. People are waiting to come in, but if you can't tell, I get excited when I talk about this. Man, this is... Now, we didn't get into anything that the devil's trying to do yet. But wait till I pull the curtain back on that rascal. Because everything I'm talking about, he hates. And everything I'm talking about, if a church gets a both philosophy and a worldwide vision, and they buy into it, and they begin to sacrifice towards it, and they get into church planning, and they get into all these different things, you don't think the devil's... You think the devil's going to sit over in the corner and twiddle his thumbs and say, oh, well, I lost it? No, he's going to come after churches like Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And so we'll talk about that. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. I just love, Lord, I love that this didn't start this year. Thank you, Lord, that in the very first year of the church, this small group of people voted to take on missionaries from the very beginning. This church has had a heart for missions, Lord. I just pray that you'll continue to help us to always be that, in Jesus' name. Amen.